on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our conversation about sex abuse concerns in the Prince George's County school system. My guest is County Executive Rusher and Baker. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Back to the phone lines. Felicia calling from Temple Hills. Thanks for calling, Felicia. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
My question to Mr. Baker is, he mentioned the 311 line. Anytime you call in on any government number, it takes forever to try to get through, or either nobody answers or the recording comes on, it doesn't understand what you're trying to say. I think they need more people on the lines in order for people to get help.
Yeah,
That's my take.
But what I want to let the caller know, our 311 line is answered by a live person. It's only after hours, I think about 7 o'clock, there's a recording. We also have County Click, and we're trying to do this to make sure there are multiple ways of getting information and we're as transparent as possible. We also have our ethics office, which if you know of anything and you think you're not getting through to either 311 or the school system, you can notify our ethics office and an investigation will be taking place.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Avis calling from Upper Marlboro. Avis, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm calling. I've been a resident in Upper Marlboro for 3 years. And I bring my children out to the school in PG from the Washington, D.C. area. And there was not so much of an issue, I guess, what you all are talking about, where abuse. But I wondered if maybe the size of the school, my children had so much difficulty trying to figure out where to go, not enough help in the school. The school was so large. It was almost like a mall. And
Which school are you talking about, Avis?
If I have to be specific, I'll
Go ahead.
Wise. It's so big.
Wise.
The kids walked around like zombies. The teachers, they couldn't help you. Nobody knew my kids. Long story short, I took them out and I took them back to the small school in D.C. where they wind up. One child was an A student with a 3.5. She went to Wise and wind up.
So what is your question for Mr. Baker specifically?
Well, I'm wondering if some of the problem is that they're so large, everybody's walking over each other, and maybe they should try to figure out downsizing the school so there is enough people to watch and see what's going on and see if they can help the children.
Mr. Baker?
The size of the schools that we build in the county are dictated by the state. The state mandates the size that you have. So Wise is a brand new high school. It's a regional high school. And you're right, it is very large. When my children went to Suitland High School, it was the largest high school in the state. It was 2,200 kids. It's simply huge. One of the things that we're trying to work with the state and Dr. Maxwell's office is looking at some of the smaller schools. But I'll be very honest with you, the reason they dictate it this way is because of the cost of building high schools.
Thank you so much, Avis, for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mr. Baker, I want to take us back a little bit to the Deontay Carraway situation. You, of course, remember that really big press incident or press conference, you and the county executive and the chair of the school board and other officials, everyone was there talking about dealing with that sex abuse issue. And there was a task force and all of these other things. And here we are again. It's like deja vu all over again. So if that doesn't appear to be working, what is the next move?
If you're talking about the task force just completed its work to look at what we should be changing in the school system
about training
those things are there. What we have to do, and this is something I say to Dr. Maxwell in my conversation, then to teachers, I mean, we got to remain vigilant, and to parents. We can do everything we can to retrain people and put them in there. But we as parents, we as citizens, when you see something, say something. I can guarantee you that when we know about incidents, we're going to correct them. What we learned from the Carraway case is, like the earlier caller said, the days of being able to come as a parent and just wander to your child's class are over. We're going to have to make sure that people are there. We've got to make sure we hire more personnel to make sure that our students not only have a teacher there, but they have folks who can chaperone people to the classes. So we've got to remain vigilant in making sure that our children are safe. By and large, in Prince George's County, we're doing a good job. We've seen improvements over the last few years. If nothing else, by the fact that our graduation rates, our students are doing better than they have in the past. But we have a lot of work to do, and we're going to keep at it.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Elise calling from Prince George's County. What's on your mind?
Yes, my name is Elise. I am an orthopedic bus driver for Pekin County.
Okay.
I have a comment to make.
Go right ahead.
There need to be more training for these bus attendants and these bus drivers in reference to these children. And you need to get the office staff out of the office on these buses, riding along, to make sure these bus attendants and these bus drivers are doing their job.
At least that's probably the best comment I've heard yet. And you're absolutely right. And that's something that I will talk to Dr. Maxwell. In fact, it needs to be people from the central office, Dr. Maxwell's office, that actually get on these buses and see what's happening.
Elise, thank you so much. Do you believe that perhaps for more sensitive positions, critical positions, if not wholesale, that staff need to undergo more security checks or other security checks?
I think we're in the age now, even when we do appointments, we do an extensive background check and social media check and everything. I mean, I think we're in the age now where you, especially in positions of authority and in positions where you have access to a vulnerable population. And so that's something that we have to do.
As it relates to, you know, what has happened regarding, you know, the Head Start situation? There have been six, if not more, disciplinary actions. Is that correct? About six?
That has been six, and there are more to come. One of the things I was pleased to see that, Dr. Maxwell and Dr. Eubanks did is that, one, immediately taking action, not waiting for the legal process to work its way through, but at least immediately taking action to remove individuals. And the other was to say there's going to be a full and complete review of what happened and how we got here. But yes, there were six individuals that were let go.
So with that said, these six people, if I'm not mistaken, these were not managers. These were staff, correct?
There were managers in there. So it wasn't just frontline workers in the individual schools. It actually was up to the level of managers.
Okay. Why do you suppose that, as it relates to, you know, the chair and vice chair, that there seems to be this uprising by members of the school board who they believe they have not been informed and they have come down hard on them, and they've also kind of come down hard on you because these are your handpicked people?
I think coming down hard on me is a legitimate thing.
Okay. You
know, I think what people are, they're frustrated. They're frustrated.
They say they weren't informed about all of this. They said
here's one of the things I will say. I was in the meeting with HHS.
Okay.
And what I wanted, because I am the head of the county, it's the person, I wanted a timeline as to when information was gotten out. And I looked at the timeline that HHS provided us. Every information that got to the chair and vice chair of the board came to every member of the board.
At
the same time. There was no differential in that. So every information that came from HHS that I looked at the timeline and asked a question of their representatives, it came to every member at the same time. But herein lies the issue. Whether the board got the information at the same time or a different time, the problem was the fact that you had an egregious incident that happened in our school system, and the person that committed that continued to work there even while the child was still there.
So who's responsible for that?
Yeah, the responsibility is on the school system. It's on Dr. Maxwell. It's on myself to make sure that these incidents, because what should have happened in that case, immediately nobody should have felt comfortable taking a picture of a child mopping up urine and sending it to the mother. There's no way you should feel comfortable. That says there's something wrong with the culture of the system, and that shouldn't be immediately corrected. This has more to do with the fact that when these incidents happen, one, we immediately correct them. Two, we look at ourselves system-wide, and that's what I've asked of Dr. Maxwell and his staff. I want to know system-wide, not just Head Start, not just kindergarten, but all the way through, what are we doing to make sure?
Do you still have confidence in the chair and vice chair?
You know, I have confidence in the chair and vice chair. I think the issues and the changes that need to be made need to happen at the school system. It's a conversation that both Dr. Maxwell and I have to have. There are things where, you know, I want to see happen. And I think he understands that correctly, that I'm not pleased with the pace that we're going and how we respond to not just getting information out to the public, but respond to making corrections. And I think he understands that.
Are you having a struggle with your confidence in Dr. Maxwell?
No, I'm not. What I'm having a struggle with is the fact that I want to see these changes made immediately. This is not an area where we can afford to, you know, wait 3 or 4 months to see what happens. These are children. These are people's lives that are going to be affected forever. And so I want to see them happen immediately. And I want to make sure that I understand it completely from what changes they're making and how that's going to affect the outcome. So it's not just about academics. I can talk to you about the academics in the school system and the progress we've made, but none of that's going to matter if people don't feel like their children are safe.
Yeah. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Wanda, calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling, Wanda. What's on your mind?
I want to know, how do we continually end up with people that are child predators or people that do not know how to take care of kids? What kind of screening process are we using?
Yeah, I think.
And one last thing. Are these people, are they long-term employees, or are these people just being hired?
Well, I think some of the folks that were involved in the incidents that we've talked at as an aggregate are some are long-term employees. Some, like in the Caraway case, were short-term and seasonal. But I think the main thrust of the caller's question was about the screening process and what we're doing to make sure that the people we get in, especially short-term, are looked at. That's why the task force was put together by Dr. Eubanks and the school board to look at all their policies. It's one of the reasons we've asked Dr. Maxwell to revisit, you know, what is the screening process, not just for our teachers, but for our principals, for our aides and our bus drivers and everyone who works in a school system, and to make sure that we're following up on that. It's not just enough to go through the screening process once they're applying, but once they're actually working there.
Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Carmi or Carm from Oxon Hill.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Baker. Hello. I wanted to ask regarding the screening process. They should have a process for everybody. I have 4 kids in the school system. For volunteers, for people who volunteer to the program, because we had an incident, I don't want to get into detail, where a volunteer who was not even a member of the school system did something, and they basically have to cover up where it was not reported. But there has to be a mandatory background on everybody, including volunteers and teachers.
Well, let me say, first of all, if there was an incident that happened, we need that reported to us. I mean, it's not enough if you know of something. Like I said, there's our ethics office where you can be anonymous. There is our 311. But we need to know that. That's the first thing. So we want to make sure that we know about all incidents. The other thing is that's why the background checking has changed. Now even volunteers have to be, you know, screened and background checked, people who are going on field trips. We've got to go the extra step. I mean, and we're going to do that.
I need to take a break. Thank you, Carm, so much. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back in just a bit. Raymond from D.C., Connie from Waldorf, I believe that is, and Shonda also from Waldorf. You're next, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're sitting with Prince George's County Executive Rashern Baker. We're talking about the latest sex abuse allegations in the Prince George's County school system. I want to ask you before I go back to the phone lines. This is something else that I think a lot of parents may be concerned about. Again, the former principal for Judge Sylvania Woods was put on administrative leave, Michelle Williams, after the Deontay Carraway incident. Today we learned that the person who replaced her, the principal, Brian Jones, now also on administrative leave. We understand that allegations have been raised against him. They do not involve children. That's right. What we understand. But what do they involve? Why is he on administrative leave?
Well, what I do know is this, is that there were allegations made, and they were of a nature that the superintendent did the right thing, and that is to immediately take steps while we're investigating, while they're investigating those allegations. They don't involve, from my understanding, because I asked this, they don't involve children or anyone at the school.
So this is you're saying that this involves something that happened outside of school, school culture?
My understanding, it's something that happened outside of the school. And once again, it's an allegation that someone has made. But out of abundance of caution, and I think the superintendent did the right thing, is that that person's been placed on administrative leave while there's an investigation going on. If you remember, what happened to us in the past, and too often happened, was there was an allegation made. You continue to work while the investigation was done. Now, you know, and we're going to get some pushback. Now we're saying, you know what? If we get an allegation that we think, you know, might be serious, we're going to now take the steps of putting you on administrative leave, investigating, and then coming up.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Connie calling from Waldorf. Thanks for hanging on, Connie. Connie, what's on your mind?
Hi, how are you? And hello, Mr. Baker.
Hello.
Right ahead.
Hi. So I have a question. Now that you made the discovery and all the things for the children and the allegations are out there with these children, is the school system, or how is the school system now supporting these children through all this traumatic,
Effects. Thank you, because that's the one thing that we wanted to make sure of that happens, is that not only the children who were, and we make sure that the school system provides counseling and also the county through our office, but not just the children who were involved in the incident, but the children who witnessed or were in the schools. That's mm-hmm. one of the things, if we go back to the Head Start issue, the big problem that HHS came to us and said, after that incident happened with the child mopping up the urine, no one else, not just the child, but the people who were in the classroom, we witnessed that, were not offered help. And that is changed now. We make sure that there are counselors immediately available, and if the school system doesn't have enough, the county steps in.
Okay. Thank you so much, Connie. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Shonda calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Shonda. What's on your mind? Shonda, are you there? Give me a call back if you wish. Mr. Baker, I want to ask, I want you to kind of look at the big picture, if you can. Both of these incidents, the Deontay Carraway situation and this situation, have happened to schools that are inside the Beltway. Some could argue that the lion's share of Head Start programs are inside the Beltway. Is that happenstance, or is there something bigger going on here?
No, I think it's I think the fact that the incidents are happening in school, that part maybe happenstance, other than the Head Start program. They're located where they're most need. And some of the Head Starts are actually funded fully by the county. But here's the issue, and this is what I don't want to get lost at the school level when I talk to Dr. Maxwell and his staff, is you can't treat these as if they're isolated incidents just in these particular schools or in this particular area. I want you to treat it as if these incidents are happening everywhere, and that's the approach we take, the urgency, that we look at all of our schools. So it's not just enough. Let's say Head Start never came in and said, we want to take your program over. Even if they had never done that, it's up to us in the county to make sure that we review all of our Head Start programs, all of our schools, and see where they're happening.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. William, calling from Greenbelt. Go right ahead, William.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to know, is there any program or training throughout the year that some of the teachers and the coaching staff go through? And also want to say the front line is the principals. The principals have to know everybody, the teacher, their staff, everybody that work with them. And is there any training for the principals also?
Yes, there. One, you're right. The front line is the principal because they're the people in charge at the level of each school, and they should know everything that's going on and know the process of reporting up and not be afraid not to report up. The last thing we want is people not reporting things thinking they're going to lose their job. No, you'll lose your job quicker if you don't report. The other thing is we've asked, and Dr. Maxwell has instituted training throughout. And I think that has to be continuous. It can't be once at the beginning of the school year and during professional development. It has to be throughout, and it has to be around these subject matters, which I think is something we learned from the Carraway case.
Thank you so much, William. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I'm going to go back to one of the questions I asked again. What is the next plan? What is your next move in addressing these things? What kind of conversations or plans are you going to put on the books after, you know, chatting with Dr. Maxwell or the school board? I mean, do you have any plans to address the school board or to do anything else?
One of the things that we're doing is, one, immediately making sure that these incidents are dealt with, and that is the individuals who had any participation in are, one, are removed and not in our school system. Two, the care of the people who are affected, not just the children who may have been affected by it, but those who are around them. And then the third thing, and what we're doing continuously, is what is going to be the changes we need to make. So we need to look at the school system system-wide. It can't be just we look at Sylvania Wood or we look at where the Head Start program. I want a detailed plan, and I've asked them to put that on. What are the things that change the culture of the system, you know, of the school system, system-wide? And then the last thing I would say, what's going to help us get there faster, is for people to let us know. Transparency, I do believe, is one of the things that was said today, and I think they're absolutely right. Transparency is important. That's why there are multiple ways to let us know what's going on. That's why we have 311 County Click. That's why we have an ethics office, and that's why we demanded a school system set something up. But it's us coming together, and I've asked not just the school system by themselves. I said, this is no longer your issue where you just deal with it. They're now working with my office, my senior staff, and our departments, our health department, our family services, our social services, and our police department.
Do you have a message for teachers? Because as you may have heard, during the last school board meeting, there were several teacher representatives who were concerned about what some would consider a culture of fear. That's the term that was used. How do you respond to that terminology and what teachers are feeling right now?
Yeah, here's this is a very real concern. There's a concern of a culture of fear to report because I may lose my job if I report an incident that happened at my school, or witch hunts, where somebody who wants to take, you know, is mad at me, will send something in. So what we've said to them is, one, this is not the gotcha game. This is to straighten out what's going on in the county so our kids can get the best education possible and be safe. We want teachers to know that we want you to feel free that if you see something like these incidents that happen in these classrooms, to report it. That's what happened with the nurse in one of the Head Start program. A teacher reported that, from what I understand, or a staff member at the school. Teachers have to feel confident that if they report it to the principal, that the principal is going to report it up, or their responsibility to report it directly to authorities. And so
How do you make teachers feel that confidence that the school administration has their back?
You know what, Harold, that is a really important and good question, and that the only way you can do that is to show them. Because right now people are feeling besieged upon, and the way that you do that is for Dr. Maxwell and the staff at the school system, and for me when I go in to see them, to let them know, you know, we do have your back. We want you to make sure that we weed out these people who shouldn't be in our school system, and that, you know, this is not going to be a witch hunt, you know, and the only way is to show it, so that when people report incidents they've seen, we take it seriously, we investigate, and that person is not, you know, made a scapegoat. And I think that's what you heard from the unions coming in and said, we don't want this just to be wholesale that, you know, you go out and, you know, teachers are afraid to teach or afraid to report.
Final thoughts, Mr. Baker. I have about 30 seconds. When you look back over this year, and it certainly has been a difficult one when it comes to the county system, you know, what do you think?
Well, you know, it's been a difficult year in terms of the incidents that have happened. But I also have to say, you know, and I think many parents who have their children in our school system are pleased with the fact that we've seen, you know, for the first time, graduation rates up, the highest they've ever been in the county. Promotion rate, when dropout was a big issue we talked about when I first came on here. The fact that we are having parents put their children in our school at record numbers. We haven't seen that since the 80s. So we're doing good things, but we need to be vigilant and make sure when we see something that happens wrong that we correct it immediately.
County Executive Rusher and Baker from Prince George's County, Maryland. Thank you so much, and good luck to you. I appreciate you coming in.
No, thank you.
That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, September 13th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher@whur.com, on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, or Twitter at hfisherwhur. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3.